Lum Cha and Va Om Avatishtate presently exists. Prajapatinam of the Prajapatis, Pati, the Lord, Esha, this, Mahyam, to me, Param, highest, Pramanam, authority, Bhagavan, Supreme Lord, Ananta, unlimited. Translation. The highest authority for me is the unlimited Supreme Personality of Godhead, from whom this wonderful creation emanates, and in whom its sustenance and dissolution rest. He is the origin of all Prajapatis, the personalities meant to produce living entities in this world. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Kardama Muni was ordered by his father, Prajapati, to produce children. In the beginning of creation, the Prajapatis were meant to produce the large population which was to reside in the planets of the gigantic universe. But Kardama Muni said that although his father was Prajapati, who desired him to produce children, actually his origin was the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vishnu, because Vishnu is the origin of everything. He is the actual creator of this universe. He is the actual maintainer. And when everything is annihilated, it rests in him only. That is the conclusion of Srimad Bhagavatam. For creation, maintenance, and annihilation, there are the three deities, Brahma, Vishnu, and Maheshvara, Shiva. But Brahma and Maheshvara are qualitative expansions of Vishnu. Vishnu is the central figure. Vishnu, therefore, takes charge of maintenance. No one can maintain the whole creation but he. There are innumerable entities, and they have innumerable demands. No one but Vishnu can fulfill the innumerable demands of all the innumerable living entities. Brahma is ordered to create, and Shiva is ordered to annihilate. The middle function, maintenance, is taken charge of by Vishnu. Kardama Muni knew very well, by his power in progressive spiritual life, that Vishnu, the personality of Godhead, was his worshipable deity. Whatever Vishnu desired was his duty, and nothing else. He was not prepared to beget a number of children. He would beget only one child who would help the mission of Vishnu. As stated in Bhagavad Gita, whenever there's a discrepancy in the discharge of religious principles, the Lord descends on the surface of the earth to protect religious principles and to annihilate the miscreants. Marrying and begetting a child is considered to liquidate one's debts to the family in which one is born. There are many debts which are imposed upon a child just after his birth. There are debts to the family in which one is born, debts to the demigods, debts to the Pitas, debts to the Rishis, etc. But if someone engages only in the service of the Supreme Lord, the personality of Godhead, who is actually worshipable, then even without trying to liquidate other debts, one becomes free from all obligations. Kardama Muni preferred to devote his life as a servant of the Lord in Paramahansa knowledge, and to beget a child only for that purpose, not to beget numberless children to fill up the vacancies in the universe. We will read the verse again. Yatobhavad vishvam idam vichitram samstasyate yatra cha vavav tishtate prajapati nam patiresha mahyam param pramanam bhagavan ananta. The highest authority for me is the unlimited Supreme Personality of Godhead, from whom this wonderful creation emanates and in whom its sustenance and dissolution rest. He is the origin of all prajapatis, the personalities meant to produce living entities in this world. You can hear okay, yeah? Nama Om Vishnupadaya Krishna Presta Bhutale Shrimati Bhaktivedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharne Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pastitya Deshatarne Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Shivasati Gauravakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Vanchakalpa Charubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha. Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Yes, so, continuing the discussion between Kardama and Swayambhuva Manu. And indeed, we're actually, this verse is concluding the actual discussion between the two of them. So, Kardama Muni, he is directly the son of Lord Brahma, Prajapati. Lord Brahma is referred to here as Prajapati, indicating that he is the original person behind the process of populating the universe. And he does that through producing, first of all, the first generation of living entities who are meant to follow in his footsteps and become Prajapatis. Sri Sri Radha Radhanath, Sri Giri Govardhan, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu Ki Jai. Yeah, so he produced all different, a number of direct offspring. And the basic idea was that I want you to now populate the universe on a large scale. Large scale means some of these children, direct children of Lord Brahma, some of them produced complete species as their children. Complete species. It's one thing to have a child. It's another thing to have twins. It's another thing to have triplets. And of course, we do know one family, very nice devotee family from Verulam, just by Durban. They have quadruplets, four of them. That's the most we're aware of amongst our devotees. And now those four, they're in their 20s, and they're working, but they're devotees. So it's one thing to produce children on that level. I believe, well, I can't remember exactly, but I think the maximum any particular parents have produced at one time was maybe seven. But anyway, I don't know about that. But I don't think it's more. If it's more, it's maybe eight. But I think it may just be seven. And, whoa, that's a big job when you're a parent. At one time, seven children. At one time, normally parents have, I believe the average in Western countries is something like 2.3 children. Even that may be difficult to manage, but in this case now, Lord Brahma, Prajapati, the original Prajapati, he produced the first generation of offspring, and they were to be Prajapatis. They were themselves to perform that function of producing children. And Kardama was amongst them. Kardama was amongst them, and of course we know the story, don't we? The four Kumars were amongst them, and the four Kumars were also meant to do the same thing, but the four Kumars got a different idea, and they decided to just want to speak of like Kardama, just have one child. Well, actually he had nine daughters, but the main child was the one son, Lord Kapila. Yeah, but the four Kumars, they were not even willing to get into it at all. They were not willing even to marry. They wanted just to remain celibate and practice Krishna consciousness. And if you remember the story, then you would know that Lord Brahma, when he's having this conversation with them, that come on now, we want you to do this. I'm your father. And you know, you should do what I say. So you should marry and produce children. But the four Kumars were just completely, you know, they insisted that we will not marry. We will practice spiritual life. So Lord Brahma became very angry, actually. And from his forehead came Lord Shiva. At least the form of Lord Shiva, who is the popular demigod within the material world, or within this universe, actually. So now, so the idea coming from his father then, from Kardama's father, is you are meant to reproduce on a large scale. You know, it's interesting, we read elsewhere how different of the, you know, the very early inhabitants of the universe, like Aditi and others, some of them produced whole species like the birds. Can you imagine becoming the parent of a bird? Or what to speak of all the birds? So this was going on. And of course, according to Vedic culture, the order of the father is to be taken very seriously indeed. In fact, there is a sort of a little saying. It's kind of Vedic. It may be kind of post-Vedic also to some degree. But in order of sort of hierarchy of authority figures in the life of a person, there is the famous saying, every good Hindu is familiar with it, Mata, Pita, Guru, God. Right? Mata, Pita, Guru, God. That's meant to be the hierarchy. At least, you know, I couldn't tell you which Shastra or whatever it came from, but definitely that idea is there. And who comes first? Mother, then father, then guru, then the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But anyway, be that as it may be, or not be even, depending on how authoritative it is. Maybe it is. But the father is definitely a major authority in the life of a person. Not just a major authority, but really practically the main authority. So, and Prajapati, Lord Brahma, has already ordered Karadama, reproduce like your other brothers and sisters, and populate the universe. And he's thinking in terms of not even thousands, but millions. Produce millions of offspring. Please, go and do that. But now Karadama, here in this verse, he's taking another position. This is his conclusive position, actually. Because as we said, this is the last verse in the conversation, as it appears at least in Srimad Bhagavatam. So Kardama Muni, he is summarizing his position that even though I've been ordered by my father, Lord Brahma, who's big, big authority, but the Supreme Personality of Godhead is a bigger authority. I am going to accept his version. And I'm going to adhere to his lotus feet and follow the process which he advocates, which of course is devotional service. So we know, we just mentioned, and we're well aware what happened when the four Kumars refused Lord Brahma. Of course, they totally refused. Karadama Muni is not totally refusing, but he's definitely not going to reproduce on the scale that Lord Brahma had in mind at all. So we can imagine that Lord Brahma, when he would have surely heard about this, that he might not have been so happy. Anyway, whatever, as far as that goes. But then again, in one sense, not just in one sense, but in fact, Kardama Muni is going to make up for that, the sort of the shortfall in terms of numbers, as Prabhupada would say sometimes, numerical strength. So that shortage of numbers, he's going to make up for by having as a son the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And the Supreme Personality of Godhead is superior not just to however many children Kardama Muni might have produced if he followed the order of Lord Brahma as Brahma intended, but the value of the Supreme Personality of Godhead compared to the value of however many thousands or millions or even billions of ordinary living entities, one Supreme Personality of Godhead is worth far infinitely more. So it's not really, in that sense you could say, it's not exactly an issue. There's the famous verse in the Shvetashvata Upanishad that, how does it start? Anyway, Eko Bahunam, how does that verse begin? Eko Bahunam Yovadadati Kam Nityo Nityanam Chaitanas Chaitananam Eko Bahunam Yo Vididati Kama. So the Upanishad is saying that there are two categories of eternal living entities. One category has one member. The other category has practically unlimited members. Nityo, the one. Nityanam, the many, eternals. Chaitanas, the one. Chaitananam, the many living entities. So, yeah, there are these two categories. One category has one member, only one member. The other has just, who knows, only the one knows. Only the Lord knows how many living entities there are. But, Eko Bahunam Yovadadati Kaman, Eko, the one, is fulfilling the desires of the many. The one is fulfilling all the desires of the many. Eko Bahunam Yovadadati Kama. All their desires. So, therefore, even though on a certain level someone might argue that Kardama Muni is sort of failing in performing this extremely important duty he's been given by his father of procreating on a large scale. But then in another sense, in a Krishna conscious sense, he is exceeding the order of his father. So therefore he speaks like that, Prajapati, Lord Brahma, of course, he's big authority, and to me also, but Lord Vishnu, who of course is specifically in this context, Lord Vishnu is being referred to, he is the Supreme Personality within the universe. Krishna, of course, is superior to Vishnu, and even greatly superior. But here we're talking about the goings-on, the happenings within the universe. So like that, Kardama Muni is arguing that, actually, I'm not going to follow the order of my father. I'm going to follow the better order of the higher authority. He is a higher authority to me than my father. This is what I am going to do, as we've of course been hearing and discussing already now for a good number of days. Just have the one son, the nine daughters. And of course they're also important persons, and they're going to play their role in the populating of the universe. But by far the main person, the son. I'm going to have this son, Lord Kapila, Supreme Personality of Godhead, actual Vishnu Tattva. He's not a Shaktyavesh avatar, meaning an empowered living entity who is, you could say, functioning on the same level, in the same ways and capacities as the Supreme Lord, but he is an ordinary living entity like us. Not like that, directly the Supreme Person in person, who's going to have a very important mission, which is going to help the development of the universe far more than just producing a whole lot of other children. So that's the position, you could say, that's the position of Kardama Muni in this regard. And of course, it's an important position, and one which we should remember. And Prabhupada addresses it in a couple of different other ways in the purport also. In the later part of the purport, in the middle of the purport then, there's this discussion about Lord Brahma, Lord Vishnu, and Lord Shiva, and their functions within the universe. Brahma creates, of course, Shiva destroys, but then in the middle, Vishnu maintains. And the creation, of course, it's to some degree, not entirely, but to some degree, like a one-off. Lord Brahma does have certain duties on an ongoing basis, actually, within the universe. But by far his main duty is the creation. And once the creation has taken place, well, that's, he can sit back and take a break, at least for a while. And then, of course, he'll have to do some other things. But that's his main duty. Lord Shiva, in principle, is in a similar position. His duty in this context is to destroy. Of course, he has other duties. He's the presiding deity of Tamagun, the mode of ignorance. But his main duty is to destroy. And he's waiting for that. In between Brahma doing his main duty and Shiva doing his, there's this whole long period of time in which the universe has to be maintained. And Prabhupada doesn't exactly mention it here specifically, but elsewhere he definitely does on a number of occasions, that creation, destruction, of course they require some major efforts, but maintenance requires more. And here we have long-term maintenance, including, as Prabhupada says here, fulfilling the innumerable demands of all the innumerable living entities. This is all part of Lord Vishnu's program of activity. And it's just ongoing for a long time. and dealing with all sorts of situations to keep things going. So that, even though creation and destruction, of course they require some effort, and that's why you get these big persons, Brahma and Shiva, to do them, but maintenance is even more difficult. And therefore, only the Supreme Personality of Godhead can do that. Others cannot. Even Brahma, Shiva, they have certain ongoing duties, but they can't maintain the whole universe. They can't do that. It's only the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Vishnu, who is capable of doing that. So, therefore, the position of Vishnu is more important. You know, of course, the position of Vishnu is important for a number of reasons, like he is the Supreme Lord. But in this case, because he's the maintainer, therefore his position is also more important. And therefore, Karadama feels, therefore I should follow, do what he says. And my father, very good, but not as important. I can sort of reduce that and give my focus to the relationship with Lord Vishnu. Yes, so that's one sort of explanation or factor in this picture of Kardama Muni refusing his father. Now, in the last part of the purport, another very important reason for following the Supreme Lord and not someone else, even Lord Brahma, is discussed. And we are going to, just a sec. Okay, here we are. And we need our translator to come back. Don't worry, devotees, it will take seconds. We hope. There he is. All right. So, like we said, there's another very important reason for following Lord Vishnu and not getting too involved with any others. Prabhupada, the way Prabhupada discusses this is that in normal material terms, where the Supreme Personality of Godhead is not really sort of participating in the picture, then marrying and begetting a child is considered to liquidate one's debts to the family in which one is born. To the family. So, of course, there are many debts. There are many debts, even though in this material world, everyone likes to think they're free. Everyone likes to think they're free to do as they like. But little do they know, particularly nowadays, that actually they have many debts. And if they don't take care of them when they're on the material platform, then they're going to end up with this whole pile of debts weighing on their heads in the future. And of course, you know, any intelligent person knows debt. One should not get into debt. As Chanakya Pandit said, and Srila Prabhupada confirmed on a number of occasions, debt, fire, and disease should be extinguished immediately. It's one of Chanakya's many wise little sayings, but it's a good one, and Prabhupada repeated it from time to time. So death then is one of those considerations that should be just wiped out. Don't play games with death because it may suffocate you or strangle you. And so there's debt to the family. So when you marry and have a child, then your debt to the family is, you've taken care of that. You're absolved from that debt. But there are many other debts. Prabhupada mentions, well, the family he mentions, debts to the demigods, debts to the pitas, the sort of higher level forefathers, debts to the rishis, and even, would you believe, devotees. One might find it difficult to believe, or one might not like to accept it, but there are debts even to the government. Hari Bol. Criticizing governments is one of the most popular sort of recreations of so many people in every country in the world. Yeah, we don't like the government. There's a saying in English, every public bar, drinking house, every public bar is full of people who know how to run the country better than the government. So it's definitely like that. But actually, there are debts to the government. For example, just an example, like there are debts to, you know, maybe I shouldn't even say it, but the National Party, from the time when they were governing, you know, it's quite a few years ago now, but just one thing they did was they made roads. And we're still using some of those roads. I mean, as they left them, when they left their position of power. And, you know, maybe some would argue their roads are better than the more recent roads. Anyway, whatever. But there are debts to the government. And marrying and begetting a child is not going to take care of those debts. So not going to repay those debts. You just repay your debts to your immediate family by marrying and having a child. So what are you going to do about the other debts? So you don't end up just, you know, submerged under an ocean of sort of cosmic debt, the result of which in your life, well, it will not be good. It'll definitely be bad. Your position will be worsened. What are you going to do about that? Well, Kardama Muni's decision to not just please his father and pay off the debt to his father, but to please the Supreme Personality of Godhead within this universe, Lord Vishnu, is dealing with that. There's a famous verse, in fact, we just spoke it, read it, in our Nectar of Instruction seminar. Lord Chaitanya himself gives a definition of faith, Shraddha, faith. Shraddha shabde, Vishvas kahe, Sudridha nischoy, Krishna bhakte kaile, sarva karma krita hoy. That faith means shraddha shabde. This word faith means that to have the conviction, the firm faith, that simply by serving Krishna, Krishna bhakti, simply by serving Krishna, all your other duties and responsibilities will be taken care of. And not just taken care of, but taken care of in the best ways. Just the ideal ways. Everything will be settled. So then you can go back to Godhead, having become totally debt-free. So, yes. So, Kardama Muni understood that, and he preferred to take that approach. Of course, many people would challenge that. Many people would challenge that. But, actually, this is one of the sort of fundamental foundational understandings in Krishna consciousness, that if you want to help your parents, if you want to help humanity, if you want to help the government, if you want to help the demigods, and if you just want to help in the biggest, broadest way possible, just serve Krishna. Preach Krishna consciousness. Help others to become Krishna conscious. Help your parents to become Krishna conscious. You'll be doing them the biggest favor that you possibly could, which could not be performed in any other way than just trying to give them Krishna consciousness. And the government, etc., etc. So it works. It actually works like that. Even though for people on the material platform, it may be difficult to digest. But the transcendental reality is like that. Therefore, Madhavendra Puri, I don't have the verse here, but Madhavendra Puri, when he celebrated being a devotee, the benefits, the auspiciousness, the wonderful results of being a devotee, he basically said, at least paraphrasing a bit, he basically said that now I'm practicing Krishna consciousness. Now I can say goodbye to certain vows I've taken. Like if you took a vow to perform kavadi. Anyway, seriously, if you actually did, don't mind me saying that, Tamils. We are interracial here. But anyway, even if, you know, whatever benefit you might feel you get or want to get from performing kavadi, you'll get it better simply by engaging in service to the Supreme Lord. Muruga will be happier with you and he'll bless you more. Seriously, it's really like that. It's really like that. And Madhavendra Puri is celebrating. Of course it's a translation by an English speaker, and being very cultural about it, he says, I can bid adieu to worshipping the demigods. You know, it's just a little saying. I can say goodbye to my different programs I had for worshipping the demigods, etc., etc. So this is all part of this picture which Kardama Muni is is recognizing and applying very strongly in this verse. His concluding statement, you want to know, what is my position here? This is it. I'm taking shelter of the Lord. So I'll have this one child. I need to do that. To marry, I have to go through that experience. But after I've just done that, and the male child has just been born, I will dedicate myself absolutely to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki. Any comment or question or correction or anything? Jai Satchinandan Prabhu. Jai Satchinandan is a very advanced devotee, very knowledgeable, very knowledgeable. So he's going to say something.
Thank you. Earlier you mentioned about family, 7 maximum. I mean, my wife has 16 children.
I can't hear properly. It's
your grandmother had 16
children. Oh, your grandfather had 16 children?
Yes.
We should congratulate him. But not at one time.
No.
I see. Okay.
It was the Brahmana son of Daksha.
And there was a Brahmana who?
Brahmana's son, other son. Daksha.
Oh, Daksha, okay. Daksha. He had his 2 sons. What were they? The Shavalashvas? And the?
He had produced 10,000 children.
Yeah.
Second group, 1,000.
First time 10,000, second time 1. Right. So.
But
Narada Muni had another plan. Right. He preached to them to become devotees, and they did. And Daksha got so angry. He cursed Narada. You'll never be able to stay in a place for more than 3 days. Yeah. Got to watch out for the Prajapatis, because, you know, they tend to be on the material platform.
And in the book, King Shaka, one of but it was very enlightened.
Right.
And the advice of not to get into your soul.
Okay, that's an interesting point. In the 5th canto, King Rishabhadev had 100 sons, but he advised them not to get into household life. Thank you. Dhanyavad. Nandri. Okay, yeah.
Like, for instance, like when the number one chose now not to follow Brahma but to dedicate his time now to the Supreme Personality of Godhead.
Right.
Like his child, Lord Kapila, but did he know that he was going to give birth to the lady of Vishnu, therefore in the sign of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, that now to choose now to worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead in another form, whereas his child was the very same Supreme Personality of Godhead.
So, the question is that Kadama Muni is making this choice right now, not to follow his father, but to follow Lord Vishnu and just have the one son. So the question is, did he know that his son was going to be like that, to be like the Supreme Lord? So it would appear, although it's not specifically addressed here, it would appear that he had some idea like that. That's an answer.
Why then would he want to, why not worship his son?
Why not what? Worship his son? Oh, I see. Why not worship the son? Well, because maybe because he's his son. And you don't normally worship your son. It's usually the other way around. But anyway, he's going to worship Lord Vishnu, who's the maintainer of the universe. He has that attraction. He has that desire. And, you know, therefore, different devotees choose to worship different forms of the Lord. Not everyone just worships Krishna. Many worship Lord Rama or Nrisingadev, etc. So definitely Kardama, whether he knew or not, but I've read that he had some idea, at least some idea, but he had that sort of attraction and connection. He wanted to worship Lord Vishnu, the maintainer of